A North Korean missile test over Japan rattles markets from Asia to Europe to the U.S. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. North Korea fired a shorter-range missile over the top of Japan today, a test that splashed down in the ocean about 700 miles east of the country. Japan's prime minister spoke with President Trump for 40 minutes and is calling for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council to step up pressure on Pyongyang. Stock indexes fell in Asia, but the effect is most noticeable in Europe right now, with the DAX index in Germany down 1.7%. London's 100 share index is down 1.2%. The U.S. dollar is often seen as a safe haven during international incidents, but it's the euro that is up this morning above the $1.20 level. I spoke to the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London.
There have indeed been some moves that do reflect a degree of wariness about what's going on, let's say. I mean, in Europe, markets are down. We've had gold rising. If you look at the immediately affected Asian countries, though, the moves are not that large. 0.5% by the close in the case of Tokyo and 0.25% for the main index in Seoul.
Some moves into U.S. Treasuries as a safe haven, allowing the yield to droop down to 2.11% on the 10-year yield. But if you look at the euro, that's an interesting move. The euro is up against the dollar today.
It is important to get the euro's strength in context. It's been gathering for many months, and that reflects the increasing evidence that the eurozone recovery is getting a little bit more momentum behind it. And that's making people think, well, perhaps this period of ultra-loose monetary policy, that's to say zero or in one particular area, negative interest rates in the eurozone and continued quantitative easing, that might come to an end a little bit sooner than people were thinking it might do.
All right. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
Stock index futures for the U.S. are down at the moment, 0.9% down for the NASDAQ future, the S&P future down 0.7%, the Dow future down 113 points, 0.5%. As the devastation continues to mount in Texas, so will the heavy burden on the debt-ridden National Flood Insurance Program. That program, which is managed by FEMA, already borrowed nearly $25 billion, most of it to cover claims from Hurricane Katrina and Superstorm Sandy. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has more on how the federal government got into the business of paying for floods.
In 1927, the federal government stepped in for the first time with disaster aid after a huge flood along the Mississippi. By the 60s, there was a ton of pressure to cut back on disaster costs, and the National Flood Insurance Program was born.
The program was also paired with the idea that there would be floodplain management that would reduce the risks.
Jennifer Riggins is an insurance specialist at the University of Maine School of Law. She says costs kept mounting, partly because the program still offers subsidized rates to many of its 5 million policyholders. And Riggins says one of the reasons many private insurers don't enter the space is because flood maps are imprecise.
If you do not have accurate information about risk, it's very hard to price insurance accurately.
And floods present a catastrophic risk, says Mark Brown, a professor of insurance at St. John's University.
When it happens, it affects a lot of different businesses and individuals at the same time.
Over the years, the National Flood Insurance Program has been extended. It's set to expire next month. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
The rain in Texas through into Louisiana has cut off an estimated 15% of the supply of U.S. shale oil this morning. Yet, the price for gasoline this morning, the spot price, is down 0.6%. Hi, it's David Brancaccio. I wanted to let you know about some changes coming to this podcast feed Tuesday, September 5th. You'll still get the Marketplace Morning Report that you already know and listen to, and a midday update. Plus, we'll start including a new global edition of the Morning Report, hosted by the BBC's Anu Anand, that will bring you all the international business and economic news. So, thank you for listening. Cities outside the immediate Texas flood zones are preparing to take in more refugees. San Antonio's getting ready. Dallas is converting the convention center there into a massive shelter. Which brings us to a story today about compassion. Cities, even companies. Glynis Board of the Public Media Collaborative Ohio Valley Resource has this report.
An ice pop factory here in Wheeling, West Virginia, called Ziegenfelder Company, has recently embraced hiring practices that ignore felony status and addiction history. CEO Lisa Allen says about 20% of her employees have some sort of legal or drug history, unsurprising numbers given the ongoing opioid epidemic. But Allen doesn't consider that background important hiring information.
What's relevant is behavior, commitment, values, hard work, helping each other, those kinds of things. You do that, you're welcome here.
Allen's company joins a number of organizations that see compassion as an important business strategy.
We have an opportunity to help people change their behaviors by providing a job.
Dr. James Doty is a professor of neurosurgery at Stanford University and a champion of this approach. He's vice chair of the Charter for Compassion, an organization that calls for government and businesses to make decisions through the lens of compassion. He says his research shows in the workplace this can lead to fewer sick days and more productive people.
What we have found is that when you are feeling as if others love you or care for you, then your physiology works at its best.
Louisville, Kentucky is one of more than 80 U.S. cities to sign the Compassion Charter. Louisville's mayor, Greg Fisher, is a former business owner and a strong advocate.
If people don't feel like they're interconnected and interdependent, and if people are not being invested in their human potential, you're not going to optimize your company, and you're certainly not going to optimize your city.
The city has pulled together what it calls a compassion index to measure things like access to affordable housing and transportation. By some measures, Fisher says compassion's become more evident since the city signed the charter in 2011. By others, he says it's still lagging. In West Virginia, I'm Glynis Board for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.